The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 573. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, even though you can't see him, I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Two squares rotating around.
Carlos Romero.
John Cena's here?
Excuse me? Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoba.
What up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. Just to let you know, we are canceling all of our gaming discussion tonight because we're going to talk about Paramount buying Warner Brothers.
Oh.
Obviously, that's not the case, but pretty wild stuff, isn't it? You know? So quite the opposite, actually. We have so much gaming shit that we're going to switch things up a little bit. I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. So Rich and I are going to review Resident Evil right now. We're going to give you our reviews.
Right up in it.
Right in there, man. So yeah, Resident Evil Requiem. At time of recording, it will come out tomorrow or probably, in an hour or something like that. You know, Rich and I both played it, both beat it, both enjoyed it. So we'll give you our little review here, and then we'll move on to all the Xbox drama. Rich, as always, I'll let you start off and I'll jump in. What do you think of Resident Evil Requiem?
Yeah, so Resident Evil Requiem. Listen, a phenomenal game. I did write a review, and I also have a video review that you can watch right now on the Coalition Gaming, but it's also on the website. Like I said in my review, in my personal opinion, I know we are very early in 2026. This is, without a doubt, going to be in the conversation for Game of the Year, though. I feel confident saying that because the game is phenomenal. And the thing about the review, obviously, there's a lot of stuff that we couldn't talk about in the review because up to a certain point, that was the only things you can really talk about in terms of the story. But, man, all the stuff that happens afterwards, there's a lot I wanted to say about that. But let me just to try to condense this together. Yes, obviously, the game has the first person as well as a third person view. I also did play it the way it was intended to be played, where you're playing as Grace in first person and Leon as third person. I think that was a fantastic job that they did marrying the two. And I think they also did a phenomenal job as far as the horror elements and the action elements. Because, yes, Leon is a badass in this game, but obviously Leon is also dealing with some other things that you learn about as you're playing the game. But one thing I do want to mention, and I did not mention this in my review. Like I said, I expected this game to be great right out of the gates. But there is a particular gameplay sequence. When I got to this sequence in the game, I said, oh, this is fucking awesome. And this is a reason why I think it is Game of the Year. I can't talk about what that sequence is. I'm sure Tony knows what I'm talking about.
I could hazard a guess.
Okay, yeah, you have a guess. And I will also say this, I have a lot of respect for the director of this particular game because I can tell with some of the stuff with Leon, this guy is definitely a fan of another director, game director that we have spoken about many times on this show based on some stuff that happens with that character. And that's all I'm going to say. But yeah, the game is phenomenal. It is a must play. Everybody needs to play it. The last thing I will mention very briefly is I did see a lot of people were talking on, you know, I know there was some people skeptical because they saw it's getting all these positive reviews, but even people who they trust are saying that the game is good. So now they are convinced, okay, I guess I got to check this out. Yeah, the game is worth checking it out. So if you are a Resident Evil fan, this should definitely be on your must play list as soon as possible.
Yeah. To quote Rich, I agree with everything that has been said so far. yeah. No, the game's great, man. Like, here's the thing. I really enjoyed the last two Resident Evil games. I honestly did, right? You know, they did things a lot differently. I thought they were fantastic. Resident Evil 7 in particular, I think, was a necessary step to, you know, bring the horror back, because after 6, that franchise was looking kind of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. This one, and this is not really a spoiler, this game effectively, interestingly, ignores those two and really returns to brass tacks. But it does keep some of those elements, particularly if you do play, even if you play Grace, you know, in third person, it still has that, you know, she's not like a super-powered soldier. You're still helpless and shit. Like, the most powerful thing she gets is a gun, like a regular gun, you know? Like, you know, it's mostly like, throw a bottle here, distract an enemy, you know, shit like that, which really keeps the horror there. And like Rich said, the balance is great because, you know, once you play like a good chunk with Grace, the game will flip, because you can't do it automatically, right? The game will flip over to Leon, and it's such like a cathartic release to just go ham on these fucking zombies after you've been scared shitless. Like, you know, like, again, because you know, and you see this in the demo, right? Where they'll explore similar areas. It is so nice to like sneak past, you know, have to forcibly sneak past a zombie, you know, as Grace, and then you come back as Leon and you pop that motherfucker in the head. You know, it's great. Other things, I'll also say this, even though Grace is like a different type of character, protagonist for Resident Evil, I would argue her gameplay is more akin to the first Resident Evil game, because it's really about like conserving your ammo, doing a lot of weird, crazy ass puzzles, and just staying away from fights, managing your inventory, shit like that. Leon, you don't got to worry about your fucking inventory. Go nuts. They don't fucking matter, you know? And then the other thing, and I talked, by the way, shout out to Danny Pena. Him and I actually did a review of this game as well for Gamertag Radio. The episode's already available. And I said this, and this might be controversial, but it probably is not. I find it interesting how we had two games that I played as Ethan Winters. I'm like, yeah, he's all right. He's cool. I played one game with Grace 15 minutes in. I'm like, I like her better, you know? Like, she just had more of a personality. Like, Ethan was just kind of milquetoast, you know? Just being real people. Well,
to be fair, he was made of mold.
Yeah, that is true.
He's a mold man.
Yeah, he's a mold man. He is a mold man.
Do you think the reasoning was because he isn't, because you never really get to see him?
Perhaps. But at the same time, Manny, I did play the entire game with Grace in first person, and... But you're right about that, because, Chris, and you can correct me on this, you never saw Ethan in the cutscenes, did you? Like, until, like, the end or something.
Yeah, no, you never saw him in the cutscenes. Yeah. The only cutscene he was in was the Rose expansion, the DLC, at the very end. That's it.
Manny, I think you're right, because you see Grace from the jump, right, in the cutscenes. So you're right, and obviously you see her, you know, if you're on that PS5 Pro, which I'll talk about in a bit, you see her reflection. And Rich, I don't know if you played on regular PS5 or PS5 Pro, but like when you see her reflection, it's not just a static face. Like, you see her like freaking out and shit, you know, which is really cool. I do want to talk about that, because I played on PS5 Pro and there's two graphic modes, but it's interesting because in a typical game, you know, it'll flat out say, you know, performance mode or quality mode. In this one, it just says ray tracing enabled or disabled, right? You turn on ray tracing, you get 4K resolution, 60 frames a second, and obviously ray tracing, right? Disable it, it could go up to 120 frames a second for TVs that support, you know, 120 hertz or higher. Lesser resolution and no ray tracing, right? So, you know, it plays smoother. I would argue that shouldn't be. It's not that it shouldn't be there. This game doesn't require twitch-based reflexes, because even Leon, even though he moves fast, this is still a Resident Evil game. You're not like, it's not like, you know, like a fucking twitchy shooter or whatever, right? So I would argue you don't need that, you know, but if you want it, it's there. And Rich, like you said, yeah, the balance of the horror and the action, not only is it well done, but it gives you both those aspects of Resident Evil, right? You want the horror and you want the crazy over-the-top action, You know, like, I wouldn't say you get to the point of dudes punching boulders, but there are some points where you're like, oh shit, how far are we going right now? You know? But yeah, overall, game's great. If you enjoyed Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 4 Remake or any of the remakes, you're going to fucking love this game, because that's basically a marriage of the two. Fantastic. Game of the year contender, absolutely. You know, so I'm, you know, I sometimes I'll be like, hey guys, if you like this or that, maybe check it out. No, buy the fucking game. Buy the game. You know? And Chris, I'm looking forward to hearing your story about trying to get the insanity trophy in this game. So I'm not gonna fucking try it. I'm not that brave.
Oh yeah, you know, I'll go for it, but yeah. That might be the end of me. I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Do you think that, being that you were so close to having games that were directly connected to this title, that it didn't feel as foreign, like as far away? Because it's like you literally got Resident Evil 2 and you got Resident Evil 4 in relatively close time, you know, compared to this game.
I wouldn't say that, but that question did bring up the one criticism I do have. Very minor one, but it's there. Again, the last two Resident Evil games were very different, right? You know, it's like, even if you may not like them, I did. You're like, hey, this is a little too much, right? This one is, for lack of a better term, very safe. Like, this game, you could tell, like, yo, we're giving these motherfuckers a Resident Evil game. We're not fucking around here. You know, so that's the only criticism I would have. They do play it safe, but it's a minor one. It's not, you know, because that's a good thing. You know, even the quote unquote criticism I have is also the reason I like the game, because it's not fucking around. But yeah, Manny, that I don't know. It's weird. It's like, because in my mind, I don't count the remakes. So to me, the last Resident Evil game I played was in 2022. So that was a while ago. You know, even though obviously I did play the 4 remake and whatever other one they threw in there too, you know, but my mind kind of separates them.
It's not that long in the year of our baby Jesus Lord 2026.
Yeah, bro, you're not even kidding, right?
It's you're talking about 4 years ago. It's like, oh, I haven't played an original game in 4 years. I was like, oh, so like a partial development cycle at this fucking point?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, because you're right. Now you're used to 5 or 6 years. But yeah, Manny, I don't know if that answered your question, but I think that's how my mind separates it, you know, even though you are correct. You know, the last Resident Evil game came out 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely, yeah, like there's definitely some direct connections to quite a bit of things in there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and this is basic, like I said, this game is a direct sequel to the main Resident Evil games. If you didn't play 7 or 8, you're not missing shit. I'm not even exaggerating. There's one little thing, not even a story. It's just a super Easter egg that, you know, blink and you'll miss it. I missed it. One of my colleagues had to tell me about it. I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't know that, you know, but it's so inconsequential, you know. Kind of interesting how they did that, but that's why I'm like, so in a way, when I came back, it felt like coming home. You know, I'm like, oh, shit. We're picking up where we left off. Fucking, actually, they don't. Interestingly enough, even Resident Evil 6 gets more mentioned in this game. Because what's her face is in this? Sherry Birkin, you know?
Sherry Birkin's too.
Well, she was in 6 as well. She was like one of your kind of helper people, you know?
Yeah, with a homeboy who we never mentioned anymore.
Yeah, so
we don't talk about him.
We don't talk about him. You're talking about Wesker's son?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So in that way, you can see that this is a sequel to a game from like 12 years ago, you know? But regardless, if you play 2, 4, you know, all the main games, you know what you're getting in here. And it even, you know, slightly retcons some stuff, which is very interesting, but not in a bad way and not in an overt way. Like, oh, this changes everything. It's like, oh, that's a nice little wrinkle you toss in there. That's cool. You know? And I got to say this, this is something, I know this segment's going on longer, but I want to talk about this game. It is very rare I get on this podcast to talk about shit I like about the gaming industry. So please indulge me, you know, because the rest of the show is just going to be complaining about shit. You know, I was watching Happy Console Gamer. He brought up a good point, but I didn't realize this during the gameplay. But then looking back, I'm, oh shit, that's crazy. he said it really resonated with him that when he played Resident Evil 2, he was the same age roughly as Leon, and now he's the same age as Leon is now, you know?
Yes.
And then I thought about 50, yeah.
From 50, 40, yeah.
So from like basically your early 20s to your late 50s, that's where early 50s, that's where he's at. And then I thought about it, Manny, you and I are only like 5 years removed from Leon, you know?
Yeah, because because Leon was probably in like in his 20s.
Yeah.
During Resident Evil 1, and that took place in 1998.
Yeah.
So
it's like, oh shit. You were
18 then.
Yeah, we were 18. I think he's actually 3 years older than us. Go ahead, Brett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that was accidental.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's accidental, but it's very interesting, you know?
I mean, like, it's they aged him the same amount since the last game. I think that, you know, people whose ages kind of sync up to Leon or who can kind of connect to where he is in his stage of life, I think that's a thing. But, like, I think that they were pretty sly in that they set the game the same amount of time apart since the last game release that they did. So they evoked that exact reaction from people.
Or it could be because Resident Evil games are in real time. I think that's what it actually is. Like Resident Evil games.
I actually hadn't noticed that. Is that a thing that's going?
It's always been like that. It's always been like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime there's been any sort of Resident Evil release, it's always been in the time that it, you know, in the era that it takes place in real life.
Yeah. That's why I disagree, Brett, that it's calculated. It's like, no, it just happened to be that it's 2026. The game drops in 2026 and Resident Evil games are always set. Actually, this game is set in September of 2026. Well, so it's a little bit further ahead.
When I said that, I was like, yeah. Okay, like, I don't mean it. They calculate is a weird word. I don't think I use that word, but like, it's not a bad idea to be like, hey, it's been 20 years since I've, you know, made a movie. Maybe I'll make that movie set 20 years later. Like, yeah, like you grow with your audience. That's a thing that you should be doing. It's that's not like evil psychology. That's just kind of like, hey, cool. Good for you. Cause like, if you're still 20 years later showing a 20-year-old Leon, like who the fuck is your target audience? Yeah. That's why Dad of War works.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Somebody did a meme about it. Basically, they showed the way Tom Cruise has aged during that time. It's like it perfectly matches with Leon, which is hilarious. Like they even look the same. Oh, man. But yeah, that's pretty much the long and short of it. Great game is fantastic. Go play it. It's definitely in the contender for Game of the Year for sure. Resident Evil Requiem is awesome. All right.
More than Highgarde?
Absolutely more than Highgarde. If we have time, we'll talk about Highgarde because, like I said, there's a lot of stories to cover tonight, so we don't want to linger.
How dare you?
Yeah. 294 players last time I checked, which is interesting. All right, we got to talk about the fallout of the Xbox news. Asha Sharma has been doing the rounds.
There's Xbox Fallout news?
Oh, yeah. Not the game Fallout, just...
No, I know. I was feeling enthusiasm because there's nothing to actually get excited about.
Yeah. So again, you know, we talked about this on the Sunday show that she was making some rather strange tweets. Some stuff came to light about her, you know, her account, her Xbox account. Some funny stuff was going on, right? So she actually took to Twitter, like the real her. And you could tell it was an actual person that wrote this shit, you know? And I'm going to read what she says, and then I'm going to explain why the tweet annoys me. So Ryan McCaffrey, who's obviously a big Xbox guy, you know, he goes, do I believe she's writing, that AI is writing for her? No. But anyway, he says, you're coming off kind of disingenuous here, right? So she replied, and unlike the whoever the hell was tweeting over the weekend, where it's just one or two words, this was two full paragraphs. So she goes, I agree, faking would be a terrible idea and it wouldn't work. I also didn't expect my gamer tag to blow up. And the reality is more boring. I created it recently to learn and understand this world. I've played with my family, and it's a shared home account across devices, which you can see in the range of games and achievements. I fixed that this weekend, and everyone is only playing on their own gamer tags. But I get where this is coming from. I don't pretend to be the best gamer, and even though I'm playing, that's still not my goal. My focus is to make Xbox the best place to play, blah, blah, blah. This is what annoys me about that. Why didn't she say this to begin with, right? Let me finish. Going online to say, hey, you know what? I'm new to gaming, but I'm here to learn. You know, let's build this together. That would have been way better received than that fake shit we initially got. You know, so I'm reading this. I'm like, bitch, why the fuck didn't you say that? That's at least like real. You know, hey, you know what? I'm not a gamer. I want to learn. Cool. That's fine. Not that fake shit. Oh, what are your top three favorite games? Here's my gamer tag. Hear you. Like, what the fuck? You know, go ahead, Manny.
I mean, to be honest, like it didn't to me that situation didn't bug me that much before the one reason, because it just looked like somebody was just trying a bunch of stuff out. It looked like somebody was just trying to get a feel for whatever. I'm like, OK, sure. But yeah, the only thing that seemed sus to me was just the fact that they got a certain amount of time on their account, which didn't make any sort of sense. You know, especially that you see them like back to back, like, oh, hey, look, they were doing this and they were doing this at the same, like not far from each other. That was the part that seemed like it seemed weird. But to me, it's like, again, like I said this, but you know, before, I'm like, again, she doesn't need to be a gamer. But I also think, yeah, like it should have just been like, hey, I'm feeling this, you know, I'm not like a huge gamer. I'm feeling this stuff out. Here's my gamer tag. You know, what games are
there? You go. Like? There you go. That would have been way better received, man. You know, but I guess better late than never, right? Better late than never, you know. So there's that, and then a few days later, and this is where things are going to get a little controversial. She did her first interview with none other than our boy Jess Corden from Windows Central, right? And the big three takeaways from it were that. You know, and obviously take this with a grain of salt from her. She says, I'm committed to, quote, returning Xbox. And that starts with console and that starts with hardware. So maybe we're going to get a renewed commitment to hardware. We'll see about that. The other thing is possible return to exclusive. She says it's not off the table, which is also very interesting. Then she reiterated her, you know, anti, quote unquote, AI slop stance. Which, again, is very interesting considering her own boss said people should stop using that phrase, you know? So, yeah, you know, before we get to the
He's not her boss anymore, is he?
Well, he is. To the end of Della, you know? He's absolutely her boss. Is
the new boss or the old boss?
The same boss she's always had. Her boss has always been Satya Nadella.
Yeah, she's not the head of the Xbox division. She's head of the Microsoft Games division. Okay. Matt Booty is head of Xbox.
I realized that that's like the hierarchy, but like she hasn't always directly reported to the same person, has she? Has somebody risen through the ranks her?
Okay, so Brett, just to clear up, you know, to clarify things. So Satya Nadella, who runs Microsoft, last month said that he wishes people would stop calling it AI slop. She's been a Microsoft employee for 4 years. So Satya Nadella is her boss, just like he's Phil Spencer's boss, you know, everybody's boss.
Okay, yeah, that's the way I thought you were using it. But like, like there's several layers between them probably actually interacting very much.
I wasn't implying that. I'm just saying Satya Nadella literally, stop calling it AI slop. And now she's using that phrase. I'm like, that's interesting, you know. That's not a big deal. I just find it funny, you know.
I think it's the least of the problems here.
Yeah, that is the least of it. But yeah, what do you guys think of these takeaways? Go ahead.
I mean, I kind of want to point out, like, I simultaneously want to defend and crucify her with this same point. And I think that is she didn't realize the shitstorm that she was rolling into when she posted up her account info. And that, I mean, like, as a person, I think that, it was kind of an innocent mistake. I think that she's, you know, excited about the opportunity, trying to get to know her product. Like, she's trying to do good at her job. She just wildly underestimated the severity of the semantics and the hairs that gamers will split and that kind of thing. So, like, yeah, like, diving in and figuring out, like, well, like, if you check the time against this time, against this, and against this, then she couldn't have possibly gotten this, and because she'd be logging this many hours, like, oh my fucking God, who fucking cares? Like,
real quick question. That she miscalculated or whoever was running her account miscalculated?
I think that she didn't think that sharing her actual Game Pass was going to be a big deal. Like, she had a Game Pass account.
that other people on her house were playing. And she's like, yeah, I can share that. It's not going to be a big deal. They're not going to go in and like tailor my hours and watch and track my work history to see if there's any way that I was possibly not online, then build a whole forum thread about it in a conspiracy thing idea. Like, yeah, no, they will absolutely do that. So yeah, you need to make sure that you are on your own because somebody out there is really obsessed with your gamer score and you didn't fucking think about that. And that both shows like that you're kind of like, you're not trying to actively mislead people, but you're also wildly unprepared for the wild, wild west of assholes that you've just ridden into.
Oh, man.
I have a different opinion.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. And then Carlos goes after you.
Brett, I'm going to have to completely disagree with you. This woman is phony from top to bottom. Everything about this is an insertion of someone who's going to either transition Xbox to service the core AI business, or like Seamus Blackley said, sunset it. Right?
We're going
to
talk about that.
Microsoft is absolutely all in on AI. They're all in on AI and how to leverage the business towards that. They pivoted Office. They're pivoting every single product, Azure, everything to AI. Right? So Xbox is the only thing that isn't there. So what do? They need to leverage it and push everybody in that direction. Now, how they do it, they're leaving it to her to do it, but there's nothing about this woman. She's a marketing person, so that right there, that should set off red flags. And she has no care for gaming or gamers or any of us, right? I don't believe her for a second that this gamer tag is genuine. This was in the works for months. They started up a gamer tag for her. Somebody played on it. Right, they put it out there to give her credit. There's too many hours at certain times, which doesn't make any sense. So her whole story is bogus. It's bullshit. She's just there to facilitate a transition of Xbox into either facilitating the AI business and pushing it into gaming. And if she can't manage that, then they're gonna just sell it off. Right, like Manny said last time. So that's all she's there to do. She's not genuine. She's not trying. She doesn't care. You are dirt beneath her shoe, and this is why she set off a bot or an intern using a co-pilot bot to answer everyone, because she doesn't give a shit, right? She's only answering you genuinely now because she's got called out from every angle, so she had to go out and say something, right? And she puts out the statement, but I don't believe it for a second.
I don't see where she was being like I get what you're saying, but like I don't see where she was like claiming to be a gamer or not to be.
I didn't say that.
Of course she's going to put AI into games.
She's not claiming to be anything. She's there. That's why she's there. She's there to transition Xbox into the core AI business. They have to fold everything into that, right? So,
and has she said otherwise?
Huh? Well, no, she said she's there to revitalize Xbox.
She put out a statement,
not mentioning that. Right, that's my point. That she's disingenuous. Right, she said previously in other press conferences she's done when she was head of Core AI that everything at Microsoft, all applications or whatever, are going to be AI based. Right, that would include games. So that's why she's there. But she came in and said, "Oh, I want to learn from the gamers. I want to revitalize the business or whatever." If you read the room with most gamers and stuff, they don't want that shit. Right, but you're going to get it, and she's going to spoon feed you crap and say it's honey until that transition happens. So I don't buy anything she's putting out there. And she got called out because she couldn't be arsed to answer people or even be genuine. Like Tony said, she could have put that statement out day one. She could have said that, and that would have been fine. Nobody would have looked into her for another second. But they scrutinized her account because she faked it, right? Because she didn't care.
I never got the impression that she cared in the first. Like, that's the part I guess I don't understand. Like, where everybody got this idea, like, that she was going to be this white horse that was going to come in and save Xbox with the purity of hardcore gaming and no AI. Fucking impression.
No, nobody said that. I didn't say she was a white horse. But you have to care about your customers, right? You have a responsibility to your customers, right? The base, and she doesn't care about the base. All she cares about is how she can leverage Xbox into AI, right? So, but she can't say that. She can't just go, "Well, fuck you guys," right? You know, just keep Game Pass on for you peasants until we figure this shit out, right? She can't say that. So she's trying to couch it, but she's trying to couch it in the worst way possible. It's at least if you pretend to be genuine, if you pretend like, oh, my family's all gamers or whatever, if you put out that statement from the beginning, it's fine. Yeah, she's phony, but she's phony in a way that is smug and arrogant beyond most other people. Like, you look at guys like Reggie or Phil Spencer or whatever, they'll talk to gamers. They know how to talk at that level, right? Even if they're not being genuine, they understand what people want to hear or whatever, and then they'll expose certain things or tell half-truths or whatever, and you kind of read between the lines. But there was an understanding, right? She completely threw that away because she doesn't give a shit, right? So there's no white horse there. I'm not saying she was supposed to come in and save Xbox. I said Xbox was dead the minute she got announced. Well, taking it over.
I didn't mean to put those in words. I was saying the opposite, actually. I don't understand why people, like, maybe I'm the retarded one here. I don't understand why anybody believes for a second that she was ever supposed to be good, yeah, whether or not she was putting on a dog and pony show. So, like, I never saw the dog and pony show, but even if she fucking put one on, who the fuck is stupid enough to believe that shit, enough to get angry about that? That's what I don't understand. Like, motherfuckers over here being like, ah, she's not authentic. Bitch, you thought she was authentic? Do I need to get you some Flintstones vitamins and a fucking nap? Like, what the fuck? Where the fuck are we? Of course, she's a marketing headman from a multi-billion dollar company. But the only thing she's made of is lies. Of course she's going to lie to you. She can slip lies through the teeth that are her lies, around the clothes that are her lies, through the life that is her lies. There's no fucking, like, Doctor Strange could kick down this bitch and show me all the potentials of the multiverse, and then not one of them is this bitch ever going to be genuine. So why the fuck is everybody getting pissed off on their high horse like they fucking thought that she was going to be? Because I'm trying to figure out if people are actually getting in more outrage and pearl clutching because they want to get something, just because they want something to be pissed about, or whether they're actually dumb enough to eat this grub to begin with.
I think it's both. And Brett, people already making this bitch out like she's a fucking queen. There's already memes about her and shit with a fucking crown.
Bitch,
you know?
I said it before, I'm going to say it again. She's not here to deliver a bad product. She's here to cut costs because nobody can figure out what delivers a better product because these assholes can't figure out their ass from a hole in the ground. So all they can do is cut down on labor. And that's her brilliant billion-dollar idea that she's staying. That's the giant fucking spider in Superman that she's going to ride off into the fucking sunset of her career. Is she's going to cut labor costs. She don't give a shit about you. She don't give a shit about the developer. She don't give a shit about video games or her fucking nephew. What she gives a fuck about is paying developers less so there's more fucking yacht money. And if anybody for a single fucking millisecond thought otherwise, then you're fooling yourself and everybody around you.
It well said. yeah, Carlos, what are your thoughts, Ben?
Oh, so we agree.
Yeah, you agree. Vehemently agree.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just, like, surprised that anybody was suckered into this shit to begin with.
Well, I add one more thing. It's going to be hard for some guys to let go of Xbox, right? It's been around a long time. They've been gaming. They've invested a lot in it. You know, that's the whole console war shit, right? People get too attached to the fucking plastic and the brand, right? It becomes part of their identity. So that's, I think those are the guys who are yelling. Those guys are pissed off.
Those dudes need to familiarize themselves with the ship of Theseus.
Yeah, I just had this image, but I can't actually say it on online. actually, I'll give you this. Remember the Mad Real World from Dave Chappelle, right? Remember when Charlie Murphy had his way with homeboy's girlfriend? And remember what he was doing while that was happening? Yeah. I imagine that, you know? That's what these guys are doing. Like, they're watching they're watching this happen to Xbox, and all they can do is just watch and, you know. Anyway, any thoughts on the Windows Central interview? Because we got fallout from that one as well.
Yeah, apparently somebody got some bass in his voice.
You want to just skip to that? You want to skip to the fallout?
Yeah, we can go with that.
Okay, so obviously, you know, Jess Corden, Mr. Xbox, Mr. Microsoft, Mr. Windows, right? Got nothing against the guy, but, you know, he is of that ilk, right? So some people were like, hey, you gave an interview to, like, a, you know, to a friendly outlet or whatever, right? And that's exactly what Kinda Funny said, specifically Blessing, right? He said, why did she go there? She wasn't going to get any hard questions. You know, like Jess is going to give her a softball questions, which admittedly they were not hard questions, right? So he wasn't wrong about that, right? And here's where I may get this, where this is the problem I had with it, right? With the exception of Jason Schreier, who I do not like as a person, I always try to maintain professionalism, even when I think another fellow journalist is a fucking idiot, right? I think it's a bad move, right? So I didn't like the way Blessing came off in, because it seemed very petty, right? It seemed like, oh, I didn't get this interview, I'm mad, right? And it's also hypocritical. And I'm not saying this to talk shit about Blessing. I like Blessing. We follow each other. We've met, we've hung out and shit. But it's like, it's, you shouldn't be talking with Kind of Funny. It's a pretty softball place too, especially when it comes to Sony, right? So it's like, don't cast stones in a glass house and all that shit, right? But no, but I don't disagree with his premise. I don't disagree with the premise, but you know Kind of Funny is not going to turn around and give a hard-hitting interview. What the hell have they ever done that? You know, never. They don't do that. So it's kind of interesting that he came out afterwards and apologized. A little half-hearted apology, but it's true. It's like, dude, don't go, like, it's very unprofessional to do that, you know? But
people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah.
That's the idiom.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, go ahead, Carlos. But and Carlos, that was me preempting you. I don't disagree with our premise. Like, if you wanted to argue about that, I don't disagree with what Blessing said. All right, it's just the way he said it.
Motherfucker, I'm mad.
Go ahead, man.
No, well, here's the thing. It definitely sounded petty, but I don't think it's petty. And here's the reason. If Kind of Funny gets the what's her last name again? New CEO?
Sharma. By Sharma. The way, I it's very difficult for me not to want to call her Shwarma. I really want to, but I'm trying not to.
Just comes out. Yeah. If Kind of Funny does does a Sharma interview, Blessing's not going to be there. Because he's never in the Xbox interviews. It's always Paris, the British dude. And I forgot the other homeboy's name. Like, those are the dudes that do the Xbox interviews. So I don't think he even thought, like, his line of thinking wasn't like, oh, like, I missed out on interviewing Sharma. Like, I really feel like he genuinely felt that, because Kind of Funny doesn't, like, Greg Miller doesn't usually do Xbox interviews. Yeah. He probably does a PlayStation ones.
But I don't think was really thinking, like, I didn't get the interview. It's more like, we didn't get the interview, you know, as a team.
I mean, maybe. But, I mean, if Greg Miller said that, it would have made more sense, because he's like the owner of the company.
Yeah.
Blessing's just like a you know, just an employee. So I don't know. Those dynamics. So yeah. So it's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So by the way, Carlos, the names are Paris, Mike, and Gary. I don't know if Paris is the only one of those. I don't watch Kind of Funny, so I don't know.
Gary Whitta. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote.
Oh, Gary like Whitta, that dude. Motherfucker. I don't like him.
Yeah.
You know,
anyway. The British dude.
I don't like him, you know, but yeah. Anyway, go on, bro. Actually, I have a follow-up for what you said, but finish your point.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Here's my question to you, right? Do you think this now puts Kind of Funny on a spot? If they do interview her and they go softball, people are going to come at those asses.
Yeah. I mean, people are always going to be, you know, looking at them with that magnifying glass.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like you can't criticize someone for giving a softball interview, then you turn around and give a softball interview, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and to be fair to them, they had the exclusive interview with Phil Spencer after Redfall.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that was a cakewalk interview.
Okay, that's
so
good.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. And I'm not even a Kind of Funny fan, but I do know that because everyone watched that interview when it came out, because, you know, Rich's favorite game after it came out and it bombed. We're all anticipating what Phil's going to say. So, yeah, I mean, the reason why I don't see it as, you know, I'm not as harsh on Blessing as maybe some other folks on the internet is because I completely agree with everything he said. I do agree with everything that he said. So I don't really take it as much. Maybe there's some hypocrisy to find somewhere. That's quite possible. I wouldn't reject that, but at least in the context of what he said, I do not disagree.
Yeah. Rich, I want to get your thoughts as a gaming journalist. What do you think of this?
Well, first and foremost, I have to say I'm very surprised that Tony as well as Carlos did not have the joke of saying they didn't find this situation kind of funny. So y'all got to step up. Y'all got to step up your joke game.
Yeah, so, but yeah. I will say this though, you know. I'm glad you know I'm able to say this now before I lose the moment. Did you give what Blessing said your blessing?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. So just like you, Tony. Yes, I do know Blessing. I actually did meet him when I went to Summer Game Fest. Yeah, cool conversation, stuff like that.
You're a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So I obviously saw the stream when he had that and I do understand. I do agree with what both you and Carlos said. But the thing also that I noticed is that in that same stream, there was somebody making a comment to him about you should show some respect to Jez Court, and he said no. So clearly, I think this is a little bit deeper than just they didn't get the interview. He just probably doesn't like this guy. And a lot of people talk bad about Jez Corden online. So I think there's also some people that also that's why they don't like what happened with they are defending what happened with this situation. But yeah, there's more to it than just they didn't get the interview. He doesn't like this guy, at least from what I gather, because somebody asked him in the stream, one of the people commenting, yeah, he just straight up said no, I'm not going to show any response.
So, you know, that's a good point, because Jez he responded to this and he said, like, yeah, I've said a lot of dumb shit over the years, and it's right for people to call me out, but in this case I don't know what I've done to this guy. He's like, he's always saying negative stuff about me and I've never said anything bad about him. Like, that's kind of interesting. So Jez is admitting, like, hey, I just have some dumb shit, you know. But yeah, I think I might be right. Carlos, I didn't take that into account. What if he just doesn't fucking like Jez? It's not about kind of funny getting an interview, you know?
And that's the thing. I mean, when you do stuff online that's very visible, you know, people can interpret it one way or the other. Like, they can like you or not like you. So it could just be that. And there's a lot of people that don't like Jez in the gaming industry. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, man. You know, full disclosure, Jez and I had our tussle back in the day too. You know, thankfully we kind of put that shit behind us, because we're both like, hey, we're professionals. We shouldn't be doing this publicly, you know? But you know, there is people who do not like him, you know, even some of our fans. But yeah, I just find that whole thing very interesting. But again, now I'm like, hey, it's kind of funny if you interview, Asha Sharma, are you going to go ham? That's what I want to see. And it'll be all Blessing's fault.
If you interview Herman Hulsen and don't ask him the hard questions, why the fuck he's closing down studios, we know something is up.
Well, I will say this: if they do interview Sharma and people are looking to see if it's more critical as compared to the other interview, well, the bar is damn low. So
yeah, that's, you know, true.
They only got up to go.
You know, here's the thing: like, you know, Paris did interview what's her face, right? The
previous
head of Sarah Bond, and she totally did some ninja moves on him, because he asked her some legit questions, and she like kung fu'd that out of the way and didn't even answer the question.
She's a professional, you know. Hey, listen, I always say this, right? Never blame the answers that an interviewee gets on the interviewer, right? It's like you could ask a really dope question, but if the person dodges, not much you could do about that, you know? Because I've seen that before. People are like, oh, like, you didn't get this answer. It's like, the question was pretty tough. It's just the person just slimed their way out of it, you know?
That's all part of media training, where they say you answer the question that you want to answer.
Sarah Bond was a master of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She was really good at that shit. But yeah, interesting stuff there. Quick aside, I mean, it's related. So the next thing I want to talk about is some people were like, you know, they took on Twitter early this week going, oh, look at that, man. Jim Ryan had a big going away party and Phil Spencer didn't get shit. Those people were made to look very stupid about 2 hours after the fact, you know, because they did indeed have a big farewell party for Phil Spencer, man. So I'm glad they, you know, acknowledged him. They didn't just boot him out the door, even though I still do think, like, maybe not on paper, but I do think he was fired. And in my opinion, it's because he didn't want AI in fucking Xbox. And he was like, and Satya was like, all right, got two choices. Fire you, you don't get your you know bonuses, or you quote unquote retire. Phil was smart, chose retirement. That's just what I think. That's a tinfoil headband theory. I could be wrong, but I'm throwing it out there. But he got his little going away party, which is nice, you know. Again, here's the thing about Phil. Even though ultimately he failed with Xbox, let's just be honest, you can't say that he won because the division came in third place at the end of the day. He was still a good dude for gaming, I think. You know, like people liked him, you know, generally speaking, right? And he, a rare thing, a CEO that actually plays video games, you know? So say what you will about him with what he did for Xbox. He's a good guy, you know, and I hope he does well wherever he does. You know, I don't know where he's going to go after this, if he's going to retire or go somewhere else, but I genuinely wish him good luck because I think he, you know, I'm not, and I will admit, yes, I have, you know, met him and talked with him and everything, had a good conversation with him. He is a good guy. I could say that, but, you know, again, I question what happened with Xbox in the end, but he's a good dude, and I wish him good luck. Go ahead, Manny.
Definitely think it was a forced resignation when it comes to this sort of situation. I think it's sort of like what Yoshida sort of alluded to when his his retirement from the PlayStation. You know what I mean? I think it was a situation like that. They're like, yeah, you should retire. All right, you know.
Makes me wonder, do you think he's going to pull a Shuhei and start doing the rounds, spilling the dirt?
I don't know. I don't, because he's not like at the same level. Well, then again, well,
he was higher than Shuhei Yoshida.
Yoshida has some fire. And then even what's his face, former head of PlayStation, was dropping bombs too.
Sean
Layden. Yeah, he's been dropping bombs too. So,
Who knows?
I mean, you know, maybe he'll could become a streamer like David Javi. I don't
know. Oh, no. not more of him.
Oh, God. Yeah, we don't need more of that, bro. You don't need more.
Yeah, I think he's just going to take his break, you know, and just, you know, see what the next step is. You know, one thing I would say about him, though, it's like he is, one of those people that sort of went through the system. Like he started his career at Xbox as an intern.
Yep.
And he worked his way up.
Yep.
And he worked his way up. You don't hear a lot about a lot of those sorts of situations. Usually those guys who worked their way up are already at the top or have moved on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, homegirl who just started the position now, she didn't start at Xbox.
Nope.
Like she didn't start at the bottom. She kind of came in, you know, installed. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
Like it's like they just had a job waiting for her to, you know, sit her in a seat, you know. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead, bro.
Just real quick, I do, you know, I echo your sentiments, Tony, on Phil Spencer. He's always felt like a genuine person. That's always something that I, you know, gave him credit for. You know, but it's unfortunate because his legacy might not be a good one, because, you know, Xbox, even though he did inherit probably the worst time to inherit Xbox in its history, it didn't really recuperate what it could have done. And Phil was, like you guys mentioned, he was, everything about Phil was the right thing. Like he worked his way up from the company, from being an intern. He was pretty much a Microsoft / Xbox lifer, and he knew games in and out. He played, you know, we knew his gamer tag.
we did.
We saw all the things that he played.
Yep.
So he was pretty much everything that's right about gaming, but unfortunately, as the head of Xbox, it didn't bear the fruits that, you know, one would want.
Yeah, I agree with it. All right, and the last Xbox story, and Chris already alluded to it, so we're gonna get into it.
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Sorry about that. Go ahead, bro.
No, it's all good. I understand that this is the place, but probably not the time. But my question is, did she get a going away party?
Oh, no, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it is worth talking about, right? When all these executives, you know, Phil Spencer and Asha and you know, Booty came in, they all had these long, Satya Nadella as well, right? They all had these long fucking, like, written notes to the team, right? Who wasn't mentioned? Sarah Bond. Sarah Bond wasn't mentioned. At this going away party, everybody was there. Even your boy Aaron Greenberg. Who wasn't there? Bond. Sarah Bond, right? Brian, I'm so glad you said it because I almost forgot to talk about something really important. Fucking crazy. And this is my theory now. We're going to talk, Chris, we'll get to Seamus Blackley in a bit. Bro, not the body wasn't even fucking cold yet. And they're already throwing Sarah Bond under the bus, right? So the reports are saying that she was the one that implemented strategies like the Xbox Play Anywhere thing, and that apparently Microsoft employees were not happy about it. And that apparently, you know, when she got the, when she decided to leave, people were happy she was gone, that she was difficult to work with, right? I don't know if that's true, but it seemed to me like, okay, you want to prop up this new girl, let's throw the last one under the fucking bus, you know? We got to make the new girl look good and make Phil look good. You know, because my question is, does Sarah Bond have that kind of power to implement that? Why didn't Phil say, hey, whoa, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, he would have to say something about that. Like, hey, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah. So you're putting all this on Sarah Bond. I could be wrong, but it seems very suspicious to me. You know, Brian, what do you think about that?
It is quite suspicious. But again, we just don't know the inner workings of Microsoft. Maybe this was one of her plays, and she said, Phil, like, give me a shot this one time. And then Phil said, okay, here's your shot. And then never again. Again, it is the weird corporate world. Things don't work the way that we think they should. Again, it could just be an off chance. Could be Phil just said, you not have your own initiative and see what happens. But yeah, it would make sense that Phil would say no if that was the case. So something happened. We just don't know what.
Yeah. So let me read this real quick, just to give you guys more context here. This is from, I've never heard of this website, but they got it right. Power Hits 95 is like a radio station, but they got they got their info right, though. what the fuck, radio?
You know, they got
Hot,
the hits?
Hot 97 got a website? They probably do, actually.
they do have a website. And our boy is on
there. Yeah, Hot 97.
Mr. NAACP nominated influencer.
Yeah, no, shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, man. That guy's always doing it big. You know,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure some people are jealous about that, but we're not going to name names, you know. Anyway, following the massive leadership shakeup at Xbox, a new report seems to place most of the blame for the gaming company's failures squarely on the shoulders of Sarah Bond. Oh, boy. Last week, the gaming world was thrown for a loop when news broke of Microsoft. We already know that. Bond was the last person to give a statement on the very sudden change, and now a new report from Tom Warren of The Verge citing, quote, more than a dozen current and former employees from Microsoft blaming Bond for Xbox's current situation, and that her being passed over to replace Phil Spencer felt inevitable. Foot! End quote there. Anyway, according to Warren's reporting, Bond wore out her welcome within the company and was the mastermind behind the This Is an Xbox ad campaign that didn't land well with gamers, especially the Xbox faithful. And here's a quote, and offended many Xbox employees internally, end quote, leading to many of her peers not rocking with her. The report claims the initiative to pivot away from consoles was, quote, led by Bond under Spencer's direction. Interesting. It's no secret that the new strategy didn't help Xbox Series X and S consoles as sales of the hardware continued to decline. Warren also, and that's a quote there. Anyway, Warren also reports that current and former Xbox employees he's spoken with to in recent days are relieved that Bond is leaving Microsoft. Social media has been very mixed on the news, and most people side-eyeing the report as the black woman is getting all the blame while her white male boss is being given a font. Okay, this site is stupid. They capitalize black. Like, why? Anyway, so yeah, they're throwing her under the bus, basically. And to me, it seems very shady, you know? It could be right. It could be right. I don't know. Very interesting. Like, all this happens. But the way she went out, maybe there's some credence to it, because she didn't get told about that shit beforehand, bro. earlier that day, she was on LinkedIn saying, hey, you know, come, she was talking to some indie developers like, hey, come to Xbox, we'll help you out, you know? And then 4 hours later, hey guys, I'm resigning. She didn't know. She learned about that, like she just got side, like, you know, hit by it. Like, what the fuck, you know? The Phil thing apparently has been happening for months now, right? And think about it, like, this is interesting too. So the announcement was actually supposed to happen this Monday when Phil's retirement kicked in. The reason it happened Friday is because IGN leaked the story. That's what happened. That's why everything was so haphazard, you know? Because think about it, Carlos, they just suddenly had press images ready, you know? It's because IGN broke the story. That's not me making shit up. That's actually what happened, you know?
The telltale sign of a lot of it is also if you go back to when she made her Xbox account, right? She did that in January.
Asha,
so
yeah.
She knew. Mm-hmm. Asha made it in January, so she knew that she was the next in line.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Go ahead, Carlos, and then Rich.
Probably put it in the resume also. It's like, here's my gamer tag.
What are your top three games? Hear you.
Here's the thing. I just imagine, and I think most of you are not going to get it because
it's a sports analogy.
It's a TV show.
Okay.
I feel like this was the under Xbox there was like an episode of Succession going on where Sarah Bond was vying for power of Microsoft Gaming to be the CEO of Microsoft Gaming along with Sharma and probably some other candidates. Probably Greenberg tried to weasel his way into that stuff. And Booty, like they're all vying for power, and I feel like Bond probably got the short end of the stick. He's like, Nadella's like, nah, I'm sticking with Sharma, and because I'm Sharman soft, I'm not going with you, Sarah Bond, and I think that's why the interesting thing is she resigned. Like when you resign, you don't get any benefits or like any severance package. At least I don't think so. Like, I don't know how that works,
when a resignation happens, you don't take anything. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Phil, he retired. Because
it's your decision.
Good stuff. Yeah, you're right about that. Good. Anyway,
so to resign when you're someone that's, you know, that high up in a corporation, it's interesting. Maybe she already had something lined up elsewhere. It's quite possible, but more stories are going to come out, and this one to me. I agree with you, Tony. This is propaganda. Like it's like let's try to put the blame on this person because you know someone else has got to look good. And I don't doubt that you know maybe she wasn't that good at what she did. This is an Xbox thing. Quite possibly could have been her because she was like responsible for like I think like marketing and partnerships and stuff like that.
Yeah,
for a long time. So maybe that was her decision. But the Play Anywhere stuff that doesn't make any sense because. That's a strictly gaming decision. Like that's a Phil thing. That's a Phil Booty Greenberg thing. I don't think that's a Sarah Bond thing. Who knows? That's pretty much my thoughts on that.
Yeah. So Rich, what do you think of Sarah Bond getting fired during Black History Month, man? Not good, man. Not good.
Well, first and foremost, let me make this comment because you brought up the whole thing about this. News getting leaked ahead of time. I mean, Microsoft has a very bad track record with leaks. We would always make jokes about their Xbox showcase, get all the information getting leaked beforehand. So whoever is doing these leaks, man, they are an elite level leaker because they leak everything, including the stuff like this with the job. People getting, you know, getting resigning and leaving and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy. But, I do agree with what Carlos said. There's more to this story that will eventually come out at some point. You know, maybe Sarah Bond and she will have an interview in the future where she talks about what happened in the past with Xbox to some extent. But I think watching all the stuff with Phil and all this, the videos they put online of everybody cheering and then you see that she's not there. That is a message that clearly lets you know this did not end on good terms. Because again, she had been working with them for 8 years. So the fact that she isn't there, but you see everybody else there. Yeah. That looks very suspect.
Even Major Nelson was there.
Everybody was there, man. Not Sarah. Very interesting, you know? But I wish her good luck too, you know? All right, now we'll get to it for real. Seamus Blackley, one of the creators of Xbox. He had a very interesting thing to say, and Chris already hinted at it, but we'll get into it. So I'm going to read this off of IGN, who leaked the story. amid the official statements and many tweets that followed one of the biggest shakeups ever at Xbox, one of its creators believes Microsoft's true plan is to bring its gaming business to an end. Seamus Blackley co-created Xbox at Microsoft, bringing to life Microsoft's console hardware in 2001 before leaving just a year later. He has watched his former company hit the headlines as Phil Spencer and would-be successor Sarah Bond announced their exit. And in a new interview, he revealed that he believes to, excuse me, in a new interview, he revealed what he believes to be the new CEO, Asha Sharma's actual mission, which sounds like nothing good for Xbox fans. Speaking to GamesBeat, Blackley said that Xbox is not a core part of Microsoft's all-encompassing AI push, and so is, quote-unquote, being sunsetted. Drafting in Sharma, who Blackley points out came from Microsoft's AI team with no gaming background, is further evidence of the company's true strategy. He claimed, and here's a quote, "They don't say that, but that's what's happening," end quote. He also said, "I expect that the new CEO, Asha Sharma, her job is going to be as," yo, check this one out. "Her job is going to be as palliative care doctor who slides Xbox gently into the night." Fuck! Chris, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I read what he said. I mean, Manny was kind of talking about this last time. And
we're
all deciding, like, we all agreed, like, and I was thinking the same thing, that this lady's going to come in, and I think what she wants to do is spoon feed us AI through the transition of certain aspects of the company into just being AI driven, right? Like, if she could get games in the cloud to be more AI driven, like, so you eliminate the hardware, right? The hardware goes away and everything is cloud based, but then on top of that, add in Copilot development and then Copilot agents to actually take on the roles of like NPCs or whatever in the game. It's strategy to get those pieces in place to transition Xbox into being more aligned with the core AI business. That's what I thought she was going to do. And so he's not wrong. I absolutely agree with him. Because if they can't figure that out, if gamers either reject that and the business gets worse, sales gets worse, Game Pass subscribers leave, whatever, and you can't get anybody to adopt that kind of shift, then Xbox is done. They're just going to kill it and sell off the assets. So he's not wrong. Like, I think he's more looking at her as like
a palliative care doctor.
One of these hedge funds that'll like buy a company. Right. Yeah, I know. He called it palliative care doctor because using that phrasing, he already considers Xbox like terminal, right? Yeah. He already considers it terminal and dying, right? The palliative care doctor eases your pain as you, mm-hmm. you know, you leave the world. But I look at it more like hedge fund guys, like buying into a company. Now they have two options, right? They'll gut the place, right? Try to make as much stock bounce as possible and then just dissolve it, right? So you could look at her like that. And I think that's plan B. I think plan A is like, hey, let's see if we can shift and re-strategize and then back with the whole company policy, right? The whole AI drive. So push AI through this. And if that doesn't work, yeah, you got it, right? So I'm on board with what he's saying, but I think they're going to try to shift more AI stuff first. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think people are going to adopt it or be keen on it. And then you'd see Xbox slip it. What did he say? Slip it to the night, fade it.
Yep.
You know,
fade that's into it. The night. Yeah, fade gently into, excuse me, yeah, slide gently into the night.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I want to read this other quote from him. It's a longer one. The job of all these people is to just gently usher all of these business units into the new world of AI. That's what you're seeing. Whether you agree with it or not, AI is having the potential to do that. Whether AI will be successful is a separate matter. But that's what we're seeing. This is in no way surprising. It would have been shocking if they had somebody in there in a meaningful role who was passionate about games. Fuck, passionate about the creator-driven business of games because it would be in direct conflict with everything else Microsoft is doing. Microsoft is a company that is now about enabling its customers by enabling AI to drive things. That's at odds with the auteur model of any art, but specifically of games. Microsoft doesn't have the problem that Apple does or that Netflix does, where they have an auteur-driven content model to manage. Games are the only place they have a content business. Yeah, we said that. Out of everything Microsoft has, Xbox is the only division that doesn't have AI crammed in. It was the last holdout, you know? So they're filling that gap with this chick. Again, not a coincidence that she was the head of AI, bro. So there it is. What do you guys think about this?
Hey, man. This dude looked like he listened to our podcast listened to Manny talk about this. He stole his whole fucking flow.
The whole
word
thing.
For word, bar for bar.
Here's the thing. I would have expected him to make a statement like that just based off of the interviews that he had given before and the end of his time at Xbox, where he was effectively trying to create an environment where creators could be happy and make actual games. That's where a lot of those initial steps were, why they got, the creator of Final Fantasy on there and the creator of Sonic to do games for the original Xbox. He wanted it to be a place that could legitimately, compete on the level of a PlayStation or a Nintendo or Sega even.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But again, that's just his opinion. So don't take that as an actual report like these fucking idiots did on Twitter, because I reposted. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. What do you guys think? Like, I think you're stupid to believe this. I'm like, what do I believe? I'm just posting his opinion. The fuck? You know, he doesn't even work for Microsoft. What do you care what he has to say? Like, I find it interesting, man. You know, but fucking people are dumb, bro.
You know, it's weird because it's like how, like, you people, those, if those are Xbox people, those people should be worshiping the fucking ground at that dude. That guy walked on.
He doesn't even work there.
He was integral in making that fucking platform and getting it all together. So, show the man some respect. But then again, that's the same slap in the face that they gave what's his face when he said that game budgets need to come down so that we could get more games out coming out on PlayStation.
Yeah, Sean Layden,
remember that one? Yep. Remember what Sean Boy said something that they didn't like either. So no, they're just a bunch of they're just sniffing the herb, the Xbox herb.
Yeah. Funny, man. All right. If no one else has any opinions on that, we're going to move over to some PlayStation news because we still got the fallout of Blue Point. Specifically, there was that one dude who, made these giant reports about what the hell was happening with Blue Point Games. And now he did his final report. This one's a doozy. Manny, I'll probably let you take most of this. Apparently, Blue Point had been asking Sony to make a Bloodborne remake, and Sony kept knocking that shit off. Like, nope, we don't want it. Manny, what the fuck's going on here, man?
So there's a deeper, and even Brett sort of alluded to this. Obviously Yoshida said that he believes that there's something with, that PlayStation believes that only, Miyazaki can make a, Bloodborne remake. There's a couple of things behind this. They said that they didn't like that From Software did not like that Bloodborne remake, and there's a lot of stuff in behind the scenes that is preventing it from happening between From Software and PlayStation. So they've put it out there. Yes.
Oh, sorry. Just quick question. Did they say anything about what they thought of the Demon's Souls remake?
They didn't like it.
Oh. Damn.
Yes. From what it said there, the From Software did not like what they did with the Demon Souls remake.
Uh-oh.
So they may see the situation as a bit of a betrayal.
Man, so, that's crazy.
Yeah. Which if you do remember, Blue Point never actually said that they worked directly with the people at From Software.
That's right.
To produce that thing. So in other words, they didn't say, hey, listen, we, you know, just throw these different ideas at them. Like, oh, hey, we're changing. We're doing this with a sword. We're doing this with a thing. So, you know, and that's part of what's holding what's holding up a Bloodborne remaster. And the other, they also did it twice, too. They initially, when they first got in on the board, you know, got in as part of the PlayStation, according to this report, they put a Bloodborne remaster up for grabs, but they got shot down. And then before they were actually closed down, they were actually working on, you know, getting it to work before, you know, in hopes that they could try to get it done, you know, try to get, you know, PlayStation and, you know, interested.
Yeah. And like, apparently they tried for several years, like, because they, again, by the way, people, this is not confirmed. It's not official. Take this with a heavy grain of salt.
Huge grain of salt, because this guy could just be this guy could have just came out of nowhere and just did it. He also can't confirm any of the people that he knows. In fact, when this whole big report came out, a guy who specializes in reviews, interviews with game developers. In fact, the recent Sean Layden interview, where a lot of a lot of more information came out about, you know, PlayStation stuff, was hitting the airwaves. He did that interviews and he said, you know, this is just garbage. And he's like, I know people at, you know, Blue Point very well. And they say most of these things say a lot. This is all just, is untrue or not real or made up. So,
yeah. So again, just keep that in mind as we talk about this. So apparently Blue Point assumed they would just be making the Bloodborne remake next, like after Demon's Souls, but you know, and they had some people ready to go, but Sony didn't give them the go ahead. And then I'm gonna read the whole thing because it's a big report. But some of the highlights here,
it's huge,
yeah. In 2021, here's a quote: in early 2021, after Demon's Souls, studio staff assumed they would work on Bloodborne and started to prepare to do that. However, they did not get the green light due to internal politics of Bloodborne involving a fragile relationship with FromSoft, Sony, and the original IP. Sources do not think Bloodborne remake will ever be made due to politics. That's one thing. And then in 2022 and 2023, it's more about that God of War game they wanted to make. And then, but moving forward here, timeline, 2025, last year, Blue Point begins trying to pitch Bloodborne again. Not only that, if Riku was here and heard this shit, Manny, Jack and Daxter, they also wanted to do that as well. That got shot down, you know? Again, it's insane to me that you have the studio renowned for making remakes and you don't let them make fucking remakes. What? So, yeah, again, take all this with a grain of salt, but very interesting if true. And it would explain why we haven't gotten... People have been asking for a fucking Bloodborne remake for, what, 10 years now? You know? Like, it's been a long time. But, yeah, wild shit. Wild shit. Manny, anything else about this report?
I mean, what else was there? They talked about how many people are on staff at the place, and it's only really about 40 people.
Yeah.
And then the other half was, because it says on their website they're an 80-person studio, but really the main crux of that studio is actually 40, and they go up to 80 whenever they start developing games. So they were a tiny fucking company. So it begs the question. It's like, if you're only 40 people, how is that going to, you know, how is that going to make any sort of real difference? It's not like every single one of those people were all seniors and making making crazy money.
Yeah.
You know, what the building cost was too much, because they're in Austin. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, especially when you have places like Ben Studio. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
I don't know. Media Molecule, where are they at? What the fuck are they doing?
What's Media Molecule doing? What's, you know, like the only ones that we know anybody's working on anything is, you know, obviously a lot of the new places that they had, you know, purchased. you know, or, you know, or studios they set up. It seems like just, I don't know, like it just seems tinfoil-y hatty things. It just seems like whoever's, you know, the people that are in charge right now are just more focused on the new shit that they set up that hasn't been proven at all.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anybody have any thoughts on this? Other thoughts? All right. If not, move on. This next one is related. this one's funny, man. Talk about not reading the fucking room, bruh. I'm going to read some of this off of Games Radar. After news broke that Blue Point Games, developer of a number of beloved remakes, is being shut down by Sony, the German PlayStation account dropped what is best described as an incredibly poorly timed tweet. As spotted by The Gamer, PlayStation DE Twitter, which is the German account, posted what would, on most weeks, be a fairly innocuous bit of engagement, asking fans which PlayStation game they'd like to see remade. You can imagine what resulted after that.
Oh, what man. The hell, man?
Talk about
that's not fucking bullshit!
That's right, Torrance.
This is one of the replies said, you can't seriously be asking which PlayStation remake would you wish for a few days after announcing Blue Point is closing. What's wrong with you? You're like fucking Greta, right? How dare you? How dare you? Yo, that is, wow. Very interesting.
Little why?
Yeah, fucking, maybe they didn't get the memo there in Deutschland, you know? That shit is crazy, man. So yeah, so that upset some fans. It's wild. All right, sticking with the PlayStation stuff. Digital Foundry said something very interesting. Apparently, and this is just according to not only, well, it's not only just Digital Foundry and several other sources. They're saying that Sony is now reportedly going to back away or backing away. I think that's a better term. Not back away, backing away from PC ports of major PlayStation exclusives, which makes sense because they got a new leader now. And he's probably like, wait, what the fuck are we doing? The general crux is that they're going to keep the online stuff, you know, multiplayer because they want as many players as possible. But when it comes to their single player stuff, they're like, maybe we should not put that on PC, you know? Because and it makes sense, right? Because you see those reports that Chris does every 3 months. That one is the biggest piece of that pie. PlayStation. They don't want to fuck that up, you know? So that kind of makes sense. They probably want to keep selling you consoles, you know? So pretty interesting stuff here. I'm not going to say corroborated this, but Manny's favorite journalist, Jason Schreier, chimed in, and he's like, yep, this is true. So he's kind of confirming what Digital Foundry was talking about. So very interesting stuff. Let me read this real quick. On his triple click podcast, Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier said Sony appeared comfortable bringing live service titles to PC, but was quote unquote backing away from putting traditional single player exclusives on the platform. He questioned how commercially successful those staggered PC releases were and suggested the company could tighten its focus around console again. Yeah, I don't know how well or not well those PC ports have done. So maybe Sony's like, hey, we're not making enough money off these things. I don't know. Anyway, he emphasized this was not speculation, and that sometimes topics come up on the show before I'm ready to publish a story about them. More to come soon. Okay, some bullshit from Jason. Digital Foundry's John Linneman voiced by the way, John Linneman, very cool dude, you know? Manny and I met him at E3, very cool dude. He voiced a similar opinion in the company podcast, you know, Digital Foundry podcast. He said he had an inkling Sony was pulling away from PC and argued that a serious PC commitment would require day and date launches for major single player releases, something that Sony is consistently resisting. The September 15th PS5 launch of Marvel's Wolverine without a confirmed PC version fits that pattern. Even if a port arrives later, the delay would reinforce Sony's hardware first stance. So what I'm guessing from this report is like, it's not that they're going to abandon it. It's just like day and date stuff they're definitely not gonna do, you know. But they've never done it.
Only day and date is freaking Helldivers.
Yeah, and that was a piece, you know, that was a multiplayer game. But they've never put one of their major first party games on PC day one. No, unless I'm wrong.
They've even said it. They've even said it. We're like, we're not going to put, you know, on put these things out on PC day and date.
Game that was day and date that Manny got about, and it's I'm surprised because it's Rich's favorite game, and I think it was his Concord. Game of the year.
Which is a multiplayer game. But yeah, Brian, what's your thoughts on this, bro?
I'm with Manny. Like, they never did it for the major single player games, as far as I know. Like, every single single player game has been maybe at least 9 months, maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, and then comes on PC. I mean, the Spider-Man games, Horizon, God of War, Death Stranding, none of them have been day and date, so this is not surprising.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Staying the course, I guess. But pretty interesting there. Okay, this was the next story, but we already mentioned it. Wolverine's dropping on September 5th, so we'll see how that is.
Kind of an anticlimactic, like, you know, announcement. They just put up this short, like, sizzle trailer and a date.
Yeah. I'm assuming we're probably going to get a PlayStation Showcase. That's the one that only has one game, right? We're probably going to get that. Actually, no, going back, I'm with Rich. Rich, last week you said that you think they're going to show Wolverine over at Summer Game Fest, right? Do you still stick with that?
100% yes. It will follow the same pattern of what they did with Astrobot. I think that's very likely, but I'm not 100% sure. We will find out in due time, though.
Yeah, but I agree with that assessment. If not, we're definitely going to get it sometime in the summer. You know, we're going to get something. And Rich, we may get both, right? Something at Summer Game Fest and then a PlayStation Showcase for the game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very, very likely.
Yeah. Kuwell says Wolverine is hopefully not made for modern audience. I know that's my worry too, you know, so hopefully it won't be.
He looked like he was chopping people's heads off.
Yeah, so, but did you see what Jean Grey looks like in that game?
I mean, you mean that unfinished thing that got leaked?
Yeah.
That we're not supposed to talk about?
Yeah,
that?
We're not supposed to talk. Wait, can we talk about that or not? Because it's Wolverine. We could talk about that, right? It's just Spider-Man. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are, Manny. They change all the time.
Yeah, they keep changing all the time.
Yeah. All right.
It's okay to leak the head of Microsoft Games is leaving. We can talk about that. But
that is interesting, isn't it? You could leak that Phil Spencer retirement. You better not leak any Spider-Man 2 details, you monster. How dare you? Don't you know people's personal information got exposed?
What happened to that with Remedy Games? Because you remember Remedy Games had something very similar happen, and the people were all talking about all that, weren't they?
Those same people were talking about CD Projekt Red's leaks, which had employee data in it.
Very interesting.
That was fine.
And they were talking about that one, too.
Yep, but, you know. It is what. All right, we're gonna end the show off on good news. This made my week, bro. I was happy as fuck. The Marvel Maximum Collection has a bunch of old school games, man. Like, doesn't have everything, but Manny. But before we get to it, because I know you're gonna say, "Where's the Sega games?" Let's be happy with what we got for now. You know,
I'm not gonna say where's the Sega games. I feel like I already know what the cut of the jib is here.
Yeah.
The superstars on this situation are three. It's the, you know, the Konami X-Men game, it's the Avengers arcade game, and it's Maximum Carnage. Those are the things.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through these. I believe there's 16 games, and the reason there's quote-unquote 16 games is because we get a lot of different ports of certain games. Kind of like
They said there's 13.
13?
From what I heard. I heard it was 13.
Let me see here. I could you might be right.
Unless there's some games that they have yet to announce.
Yeah. All right, I'll read this. This is the actual press release too. Limited run games, a premium whatever, their Maximum Collection, a compendium of classic Marvel titles from the golden age of gaming, coming soon to PC and console, creating collaboration with Marvel Games and Konami. So it's six games. But again, you get a lot of different versions.
Yeah, it's six games, but it's like six games with alternate versions of them. So that's probably the Genesis and the the Super Nintendo versions and stuff.
Maybe Game Boy too. You know, you never know. Because then the Castlevania ones did that, and Ninja Turtles and stuff. Anyway, featuring six classic titles from the arcade, 8-bit and 16-bit consoles, Marvel Maximum Collection, that's the official name, includes a host of fan favorites, each evoking the endless spirit, whatever, whatever. Let's get to the games. X-Men, the arcade game, as many alluded to, Welcome to Die. You know?
Which we hope is the actual version of the game, because if you guys don't remember, that there was a port of that game that was done for PS3 and Xbox, and they re-recorded all the voices on that game.
We can't have that.
They did this awful job of like repurposing the menus. It was just the shoddiest like port of that game. Also, too, hopefully you can play it in the widescreen format, because you know, like the original three screens that you used to be able to play that game on.
That'd be nice.
Online and couch co-op too for the multiplayer on that game too.
Yeah, so up to six players. You know, your boy. That's very nice. And then after that, this is the one that I got the most hyper, because I used to love this fucking game, man. I used to rent this shit all the time. Captain America and the Avengers. Let's fucking go. I haven't played that shit since I was a kid. You know, Chris, I know you remember that fucking game.
I can't lose.
I can't lose. I can't lose.
Die. and then, okay. I'll get to the one Manny already mentioned, but the other one I'm fucking excited about, and this is one of the first games I played on Genesis, Spider-Man and the X-Men Arcade's Revenge, man. Let's fucking go. Bro. I'm having a moment right now, man. Give me that shit, you know? So this, it's actually lists all the versions. So anyway, so Captain America and Avengers is going to have the arcade, Sega Genesis, and Mega Drive. And NES, where's the Super Nintendo version? Did that not come out on Super Nintendo? Thought it did.
I don't remember it coming on a Super Nintendo, but we can easily search it up.
Yeah, let's search it up. And then you know, Manny already mentioned Maximum Carnage. That's the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis version. Maximum Carnage, another fantastic game. Venom, Spider-Man, Separation Anxiety for Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. I never actually played this one, so it'll be my first time with it, which is pretty cool.
I've only played it once.
Yeah, never played it. And then, like I mentioned, Spider-Man, X-Men, Arcade. It's fucking cool, man. So that's going to be Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, you couldn't picture this. Game Boy and Game Gear. This was a crazy one. Here's the thing. I kept renting this game. I didn't like it, but I kept renting it because it's Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer.
That game was frustrating as shit, man.
I remember as a kid too. Me and my cousin, we were determined to beat that game. We rented it out. We took it back and took it back out again just to fit. That game was hard as fucking balls, man.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
That was hard as fuck. But that's on here, which is cool. It says, as if six classic comic book, whatever, Marvel Maximum Collection goes one step further, adding a host of features designed to scratch the itch of modern gamers. So let's see what these features are. Archives, dive into the digital archive featuring high-resolution scans of original box art, instruction manuals, and vintage advertisements. I'm guessing like the Ninja Turtles collection, which is nice.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to be very similar to the Ninja Turtles collection.
Yeah. A music player, so you can listen to your tunes. Rewind and save states, which is going to be good, Chris, for fucking Silver Surfer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll finally beat that fucking game, you know?
I have, man.
Chris, they know. Whoever wrote this press release, it says, finally conquered the deadly walls of Silver Surfer. Yeah. Oh, man. Display options. Play with crisp modern pixels or recreate the Saturday morning experience with CTR or scanline filters. You got to have my thing is, if you have a classic collection without CRT filters, you fucking fail. You can't play with just raw like that. It doesn't look right. You know, I don't know. When is this shit coming out, man? I need this fucking game. You know, I don't think this press release has is there a release date?
It should have a release date. Let's see.
Maybe it didn't drop, but color me excited. And while you're looking it up, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got the email. There is no release date yet.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Not good.
We got the emails.
Did not get the emails. But yeah, Rich, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Oh, well, I think it's a fantastic announcement. Obviously, I did play the X-Men game. I think we've all played that game in the arcades. A lot of those other games I did not get a chance to try out, so I definitely look forward to trying them out now. But no, I thought it was a great announcement. And again, this was by far a fantastic week for limited run games because they announced this and they also announced the release date for the He-Man game, which is, yeah, coming out in April.
Segway King, because that's what I want to talk about next before we wrap up. And also another
by nice the power of RBJ,
you know, and also a nice little segue. I like Jeffrey in the chat. He goes, those games are mid, but I love them. That's right. The games are the greatest. Let's be honest. You know, they're not the greatest, but they're fun. Come on, man. Jeff, man, we got to play that motherfucking Avengers game, bro.
That X-Men game. Come on. That's a good one.
Welcome to Die. Very inspired by, I could be wrong about this, Pride of the X-Men. They had that kind of lineup, you know?
Yeah, it was. I think that was the sort of failure of it in the arcades, is that it was very much based off of the John Byrne era of X-Men.
Oh, no, it was late John Byrne era, or like after. Yeah. It was after the fact, wasn't it? Like a little bit afterwards. Like, who the fuck want to play as Dazzler, you know?
Yeah, it's all that era. It's not like, you know, like Gambit and all, you know, like those characters. It's literally that era, like an older era of X-Men.
So, yeah, was Gambit even a character at that point?
Like, yeah, this was the early 90s.
I thought it was
this
game
came out.
Let me see
this. No, when Pride of the X-Men came out, it was like 80s. Yes. But when that game released, Gambit was a character in the X-Men.
Oh yeah, 1992, he absolutely was.
Yeah.
What the fuck were they doing with Dazzler in the 1990s? Bro, hold up. They fucked up. You could have had Gambit, Rogue, Psylocke, you know,
people. Yes. You could have had that crew, but for some reason they just decided to base it on that Pride of the X-Men cartoon.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz remember it was 1990, right? No, it was 1991. Jim Lee's mm-hmm. X-Men, you know, number 1 with the blue team, you know.
And
yeah, they fucked up.
And development times on those games weren't super long.
No, they weren't.
It was only maybe about 6 months or less.
Yeah. Yeah, because the rest of the roster is cool. Dazzler's the only one. Like, wait, what's the rat? What? You know, Colossus, you know, Cyclops, Storm, Wolverine, Nightcrawler. Those are good X-Men, you know? Mm-hmm. But you're right. 1992, that was kind of weird. People wanted motherfucking Gambit, you know? More than me. Where's fucking Reggie at, man? He's gonna start crying again, you know. By the way, Gambit's still alive in the comics, Reggie. It's okay. It's okay. He's not dead.
listen. X people die all the damn time, and they come back.
He'll come back. You know. Oh yeah. Anyway, that He-Man. You guys saw that trailer? Did you see that trailer? Give me that fucking game.
I saw it the last time. It looks good.
No, you saw the new one, though, with that song, you know?
Yeah, what was up with that song in there?
I don't know, but I liked it. Got me hyped, you know? I'm ready. And Rich, when is that again? April what?
I think it's April 28th.
Ooh, give me that shit.
Yeah.
Give me that shit, man. I can't wait, you know? Actually, you know what, man? Since you brought it up and now it's in my head, I do want that Sega Genesis Collection 2 of Marvel games, bro.
Yeah, that'd be like if they could get like the Spider-Man arcade game and all the Spider-Man games that were made for Sega Genesis and two X-Men games. Like, come on, that'd be great.
But again, and I asked you this question. We're like, how do we do that? How would you reset the Genesis in a port?
Yeah. Yeah. How would you reset the Genesis in a port of that game, which X-Men number one, where you literally had to press the reset button on the actual Genesis console. I didn't even know that shit until years later, because I got to that point. I'm like, how do I reset?
Man, you know how I found out? Out of pure frustration, because for months I would always get to that spot, reset the system. And I'm like, I don't want to reset. I made it far. You know, and then one day I was so mad. I'm like, fuck it. I'm resetting the shit. And then the final level starts. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, so I'm like, how do you, would you replicate that in a modern console? I don't know. Maybe they'll just do something cheap. It's like, you know, press the reset button, you know, on the screen or whatever. Just press X to reset.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, man, that's how I found out. I was just so frustrated. Like, fuck, I'll reset. I don't care. You know, I'm going to have to restart this shit anyway. You know, and it's like, huh? Then you're on fucking Asteroid M, you know, at the end. That was crazy. Games don't do shit like that anymore, man. You know? That's some Metal Gear type of shit right there. You know? Fucking with your mind. That was before Metal Gear Solid. You know? That was great. So give me all that old shit. I don't, these new games are trash, so except for Resident Evil, we'll play that. You know? So give me the old shit. All right, good stuff. Let's start wrapping up here, man. Rich was coming up on the Coalition this weekend.
Oh, yeah. So we are in the midst of what I would call March Madness. I'm not talking about the college basketball. I'm talking about this is all these video games dropping in March. So definitely stay tuned to the Coalition. As I mentioned earlier, yes, I did review Resident Evil Requiem. So check that out on the website. There's a couple things coming out in the next couple of weeks that I will be able to talk about and you will be seeing get covered. So stay tuned for that. Also, I will give a moment to shout out to Mr. Adam Vale because the TV Terminal, they are going to be covering this show Monarch, which actually starts tomorrow. So make sure you check out his channel as well as the website because, yeah, they're going to be covering that show. And overall, just stay tuned. One final thing I will mention. Also, March is another important month because one of Tony's favorite shows is returning.
Oh, so let's go. You know
what that means.
Yeah, superheroes. Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, so get ready.
Yeah, good stuff. Jeffrey goes, what was the Spider-Man arcade game with Namor? Yeah, Spider-Man the arcade game with Namor the Submariner. That game is awesome, man.
It's actually called Spider-Man the video game, but it had a weird fucking cast. Again, talk about like weird, like you have Black Cat, you have, you know, obviously Spider-Man,
Hawkeye,
and then Namor the Submariner.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the scaling effects in that game were so impressive. Like, oh shit. Especially when Venom gets big, you know, that was cool, man. Yo, Jeff, they need to have that shit in Barcade, bro. Cause they got the X-Men one, I think. No, actually, do they have X-Men? I don't know if they do. I know they have the Simpsons arcade game, which is fun too, you know. Was that Konami as well?
Yes, it was.
It was, yeah, Konami.
Yeah, I think so.
Cooking.
In fact,
Turtles, I mean, X-Men.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, the Turtles and X-Men. You know, it's funny that somebody decompiled that game and they found a bunch of X-Men assets in the Simpsons game. So they just redid it. They just just reskinned the whole damn game, but yeah.
Yeah. Manny, you could plug yourself, but obviously there's no visuals here because your camera's fucked up. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Okay, I've been talking about it for a while, and it's now out on the streets. The TMNT Battle Nexus number 5. It's out at your local comic book store, covered by Kari Randolph and myself on colors. And the other side is the director of TMNT 2012. Who drew that side. So it's a cool jam cover. And what's even better about this, if you miss out on the cover, IDW did the fans a solid and actually reprinted all the covers for the issue inside of the book without the cover dressing. So if you miss out on the cover, fear not, it's on the inside of the book and you get to see the cool artwork. So it was really cool of them to do that.
All right, good stuff. And yeah, that's it for us, man. So wrapping it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on the YouTubes. Check us out on Discord. Come hang out. As always, shout out to the Discord crew. You guys were very entertaining this past week with the whole Phil Spencer stuff. Shout out to you guys, you know. And of course, we're on your favorite podcast app. So check us out there. Links to all of that down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time. Play some Resident Evil.
There you go. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello, people.
All right, guys, we shall return on Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Laters.
This is...